She with you?
I thought she was with you.
Hello, world. This is Chris Abalo's podcast experiment, and I am Chris Abalo. Welcome to the show. Thank you for subscribing, for liking, for following, all that good stuff. Very much appreciated. Thank you for subscribing and supporting on Patreon, patreon.com/capepod. We do appreciate your support. The first digital exclusive is out, and it's a bit of audio, and there's more stuff coming. Certainly by the end of the month, we're going to have some video, we're going to have a film commentary, but we wanted to actually just get the page kind of up and running. So if you haven't gotten in yet, and obviously word will spread and momentum will build and all that good stuff. So if you haven't subscribed yet, there's still great stuff to come for the month of January and from every month from here on out. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Please go over and check that out at patreon.com/capepod. And follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Cape Pod as well. And joining me on this week's episode is none other than my part-time co-host, Jack DeFranco.
What's up, y'all?
Welcome back. Thanks. Even though you were just here last week, but you're here again. So thanks for that.
Yeah, and no problem. Anytime.
In case you missed last week's episode, and if you don't know, based on the title, we're going to be having a full-on spoiler discussion about Wonder Woman 84. Which I badly joked about on last week's show, is it being the 84th movie in the Wonder Woman series. It's a very clunky delivery of that joke, and it wasn't that funny anyway. But forgive me for that. They can't all be winners, folks. The show's free. What do you want?
Happens to the best of us.
So
the show's free.
Oh, yeah. Engineer Chris is here as well. Christian Cordes is going
to
be present.
Oh, no, I'm not Chris. I'm Ryan Taggart. It's great to be here.
If you were Ryan Taggart, you would have loved Wonder Woman 84.
If you, yeah, exactly.
I loved that movie. It was amazing.
It's great. What did you like about Ryan? It was great.
It
was great. Oh, colors and
she rode the, she's she running around. The lightning.
Yeah. It was the 80s. Come on.
It was like, the 80s. Come on.
Like, what's not to love?
Now, listen, if Christian wants to jump in during this discussion, he can.
Feel free.
Yeah, honestly, because we talked about this before we got going. I said, look, we're going to talk about this movie, so if you haven't seen it and want to, just, you know, earmuffs.
If you haven't seen it, go fuck yourself. But if you have, awesome.
But he doesn't want to see it, so if he reacts to the things we say, that's totally okay. We're down and we're here
honestly,
for it.
Honestly, man, like, it was, I just don't have the interest after all those reviews came out. Mm. Like, that could kill a movie for me, and I hate to be that way. But, like, and that sucks because I'm a filmmaker and I want to support. But, like, a bad movie is a bad movie.
Because you go in with preconceived notions of, like, it's 2.5 hours of my life that no one actually likes this. So why would I even bother?
Exactly. Well, it does. But also, I kind of also go with the fact that when people hate something, like really hate something or love something, or it's polarizing, like those three instances, not when people say, like, it was good, it's worth a watch, like not a casual kind of opinion like that. If people love it, hate it, or it's polarizing, and you have those two categories of people, that's when I like to go back and see something after the hype. Like I did that with like The Departed. I saw that a couple of years later because I just said, you know what, this movie, everybody's hyping it up like crazy, and what came out around, well, the same time, as I mean a couple of months apart, was the first Borat. People were laughing about that like it was the invention of comedy, and I watched it. I just said, this just, I don't know, it didn't do it for me, but I want to go back and watch Borat now.
I still have yet to see the first Borat.
Dude, the second one's immensely better.
I only saw the second one, and that's the only one I want
to
see.
I thought Jack was going to have a heart attack. We had to keep pausing it because he was laughing so hard. He was just like covering his face and crying and sweating. And it's amazing.
It's going to happen. I'm going to have a full on coronary, and you're going to be like, oh,
it's going to be my fault. I know that.
Perfect time to podcast. What's going on, Rod? What's going on, Jack? How are you?
I'm
coming to listen.
Does your left arm always hurt this badly?
You just please do it on cam. If you could do it on the show, that would really help us out.
Patreon exclusive, Jack has a heart attack. $25 tier.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, here's the $100 tier, the death of Jack DeFranco tier.
Okay.
Jesus, man.
The Jack DeFranco.
I'm not assuming he's going to die. high. Second, I'm assuming, Jack, it's a $100 tier, man. Come on.
It better be.
Premium. Yeah. I got medical bills to pay. I just had a massive heart attack.
That's premium content, man.
Triple bypass.
That will be the Jack DeFranco Memorial tier. I'm going to add that, actually. I'm not expecting anybody to subscribe for $100 a month, but should Jack die on camera, you will get that video. So if you want to get in on the $100 a month Jack DeFranco Memorial reward level, then I'm going to add
this on the Patreon by the end of the month. I'm going to be really mad.
It's going up this
on my family. It's this big. Hey, listen, there's a potential. I might be gone soon.
By the time this show goes out, because we're doing this a couple of days in advance, like I'm putting it up over the weekend. So Monday, when this show is released, it will be there. I promise.
Yeah.
Because we just see we spin gold on this show. Why wouldn't you want to kick us a couple of bucks? Come on, throw a little
like a
scratch our way.
Lasso. No, wait, no.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Yeah, we should probably get into that. So, Wonder Woman 84. Now, the joke of this about the title of this show, Cape 149 WTF 84, I realize a lot of people have made that joke, and this is even, you know, 2 weeks after people have seen Wonder Woman 84, and YouTube is full of videos, and people are doing, you know, spoiler discussions and everything like that. I get that this is a little later, and I debated whether or not to do this show, like, first, instead of doing the show we did last week, but then I said, well, the show doesn't hinge on, like, movie reviews, and certainly not full-on spoiler discussions about anything. We haven't really done something like this on the show before, but because it's something people are talking about, and it's because it's something that we have some fairly strong opinions about, I thought, well, why not? It's rare that this show coincides with something that's going on in pop culture, just because it's never really been the intention. But in a case
and
like
there are
this,
people who still haven't seen it.
Totally. Well, that's the funny part. At this point, if you haven't seen the movie, I just don't know if you want to.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you get, there's a deal right now, and this is not a paid promotion, of course, but if you get HBO Max for 6 months, I think it's if you pay up front for 6 months, I think it's like $72, so $12 a month for 6 months. Even just to do that, if you want to see any of the movies that are going to be on there, like if you're a Sopranos fan, you want to see The Many Saints of Newark in March, you should sign up. And there is a shitload of stuff. I will say that they really fumbled that. I like HBO Max a lot, and they've only added more and more stuff.
I'm very impressed with
they've
it.
Added.
They just added all of the DC animated universe shows. I think
it's so funny.
Batman Beyond, the animated series, Superman, the animated series.
And,
I'm like, yes, please.
And the movies, even the movies, the animated movies from 2020, which were awesome. Like, I mean, we'll be talking about them more next week when Jack and I talk about our the best and worst of 2020, the stuff we liked most, and a couple of things we didn't. Which obviously Wonder Woman 84 falls in that category, but it earns its own show.
Now, here's a question I have for the two of you, because you guys have seen it, but I feel like this is also important. Do you think that this is a good audience movie, but it's not a good comic book movie? Because this is the general opinion that I'm coming up with, because I've seen a lot of general audience people really digging it. Like, people who aren't really comic book fans are like, oh, it's fine. It's a good movie. It's fun. But then a lot of other comic book fans are like, this is not good in the slightest. And then I have the reverse where it's people are like, no, the story is awful. But I'm like, is there a separation there? Like, is there something where it's like, this is just not a good movie, or is it just not a good comic book movie?
I'll say this.
It's not a good movie.
I'll say this.
It's not a good movie.
If you're a kid, if you're 9 years or younger, and you haven't seen a lot of comic book movies, let's say you're not familiar with the Marvel movies, and maybe your parents don't want you to watch, you know, Endgame and Infinity War because they're a little heavy. Then yeah, I'd say it could be, but the thing that even lets that down is the fact that it's unnecessarily 2.5 hours. It's too long for a movie like this. So yes. If for like a kid's movie, like the tone and everything, a lot of people have compared it to like the Richard Donner Superman movies, and that's a lighter tone and it's not supposed to be taken too seriously. It's just supposed to be fun, but it's so bloated. The runtime's so bloated.
Yeah. I mean, even like the Donner movies, like Superman 2 had some themes in it that were like, okay, he loses his powers. We'll talk about that during the show, because I feel like these movies very much copy the first two Donner films of Superman. But like, you're invested in the character. This is just kind of, there's that first hour of this movie is so boring.
Yeah.
That you just kind of, time just goes on and you're like, is nothing's really happening? And I'm not saying as a critical comic, like, look, I'm a comic book fan, but I'm not like a big comic book fan.
Yeah, Jack doesn't read them.
I don't read them. You're gonna, but I don't do that with like, if there's a movie or a TV show or an animated series, I'm invested in it. I'll learn about the character that way.
Same.
So with this movie, I was just, there's nothing in it. It's just kind of like this weird drama of nothingness. There's just nothing. I don't remember the first hour other than just nothing happening.
Well, let's get into it then. Let's go through the movie as far as how it starts. Now, it opens the first 11 minutes I didn't need at all. It's kind of just like playing the hits from the first movie. We're going to show in Themyscira, and we're going to show Baby Diana, and it's this whole...
How do you pronounce that place?
I think it's Themyscira.
Themyscira.
Everybody talks about, like, what the hell? Themyscira? Is that a skin product? Like, what is this?
Yeah, it does. It's a rash. It's like, I have some Themyscira on my calf from some poison oak.
Maybe she's made for it. Themyscira. Like,
yo, man, I'm
maybe
sorry.
She's born
I got
with
the
it.
Crotch rot. Yo, let me get you that Themyscira.
It could be. It could be a prescription. Like an ointment? Themyscira? Yeah. Exactly. Or a beauty product. Themyscira sounds like a beauty product. But it's this scene where basically young Diana, the same girl who was in the first movie portraying young Diana, is thrown into or somehow volunteers for basically an Amazonian version of Maximum Extreme Challenge. And she needs to make it through all these silly obstacles just to get to the end. And of course, they show her mother and they show Robin Wright's character. I don't remember the character's name. And it's the only scene in the movie, the first 11 minutes.
Wonder Mom. There we go. Fine.
Yeah, Wonder Mom and Wonder Mentor are in the movie, too. And basically, Diana cheats and kind of slides down and misses one of these silly obstacle courses and would win. But then Wonder Nanny snatches her at the end and doesn't let her cross the finish line. And somebody else does cross the finish line and wins the golden action figure suit. So... Now, the whole point is to introduce the golden action figure suit, which you'll see for, you know, about 88 seconds at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And also to give an idea of, like, you cannot cheat. It's about truth. And to give this really ham-fisted, like, idea that couldn't possibly have been. But the idea is, like, really, you couldn't have shoehorned that into the beginning of the movie in 1984. Like, I don't, the first 11 minutes just to me was kind of pointless. I know people love it.
I thought it was going to have something to do with it later. I thought, okay, this is going to be about. Because from what I saw from the trailers with Pedro Pascal's character about this rock or whatever he has in his hands, okay, it's going to be about something you can't cheat your way to victory. But it doesn't deal with that because this was just a weird prologue of, again, where are we going with this?
Nowhere. Yeah. All it was to drive home an empty platitude about truth. The truth, Diana. You must not cheat. You must always favor the truth or whatever the hell
she wasn't really cheating. She's like, oh, I lost my horse. There it is at the bottom of the canyon. I'll just go down this convenient slide. So she goes like Action Park style, another HBO Max plug. She just
there's a watch.
Horse. Yeah. Oh, that.
More on that next week. She does. So it's not so much she cheats. Yeah, she does kind of lose her horse. But
I lost my horse. There it was at the bottom. I'm not going to run down a fucking hill.
But for a 2.5 hour movie like that, it was 11 minutes because I paused it and I said, how long was that? Because then the title comes up after this whole opening scene, which is too long. And I'm thinking, for a movie this long, do we need this scene? And I guess the idea is to give little girls something to cheer for. OK, here's young Diana. Yay. And whatever. And to drive home this. This idea about, like, truth, you must not cheat.
That could be young Got Amazon, it. Too. Yeah.
And then we skip to the mall scene, which is already mostly released online as a clip where it's the 80s. So people love the mall. So we're going to have a fight in the mall. And it's kind of weird that the Wish Rock that's used for a good portion of this movie until Pedro Pascal becomes the Wish Rock. But the idea that this Wish Rock, which is the whole catalyst for everything that happens in the movie, is just in the back room at some random mall jewelry store.
Yeah, next to the Orange Julius, next to the Walden books.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
and this is the only thing they use. Like, this is how, you know, why the movie's called Wonder Woman 1984? Because it takes place in the same mall that Stranger Things takes place in. And it's like, hey, remember all those things you liked as a kid that aren't here anymore? Yeah, mall.
Or that awesome scene in Commando that would happen 3 years after the movie.
The video game area, the arcade.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking video game nerds were like, yeah, that didn't come out till 1987. That had come out in 1986. So they were like, just throw some video games in there.
It's kind of weird that that's like, you can
picky, but it's like,
but you can research that stuff.
Yeah.
So
see,
I don't know.
I heard from, especially not from you guys, but I've heard from other people, is that this film doesn't comfortably. Yeah. It hammers the fact that it's set in the 80s. It's not like subtle. It's very much like, hey, welcome to the 80s.
But only in
loved
that
everything about
but
it.
But only aesthetics. Only in that scene, though. Like, I will say that. Only in that scene, and then the Steve, I almost call him Steve Rogers, Steve Trevor, fashion montage that was also too long. Was just like, look how hilarious fashion was in the 80s, which, by the way, I know a lot. They want to really hype up the jokes about the fanny pack. I feel like fanny packs were way more of a 90s thing. I remember seeing those as an older kid. I don't remember people walking around in the mid to late 80s with fanny packs. I really feel like fanny packs hit their stride in the 90s.
Yeah, I had one strapped on my bike candle. So
I did. I had one. I think we got it like Kmart or something. It was like bright orange with a black zipper. I had one, but that's when I was 10, and that would have been 91, 92. So I don't know. I feel like that whole thing. There was no, if anything, I thought it was going to overemphasize the fact that it took place in 1984. Kind of like, as much as I enjoyed Captain Marvel, the idea that every moment it's like, it's the 90s, it's the 90s, it's the 90s, just kind of hitting you over the head with the 90s. Like, I was a teenager in the 90s. I don't remember a Nine Inch Nails poster every 11 feet. I don't remember, like, the idea that, like,
every corner.
Well, that's it. That whole movie was just here? Like, everything emphasizes that it takes place in like 95, 96. Like, we get it, but it's you're really going out of your way to decorate, to emphasize that it's the 90s. And this movie kind of took the opposite approach, where the fact that it took place in 1984 basically does nothing to serve the plot. It has nothing to do with it. I mean, the only defense I've heard that makes sense to me is that this movie needs to take place before essentially 2016, before Batman and Superman show up, before there's a Justice League and all that. But it could have been any year. Could have been Wonder Woman 1994,
Wonder Woman 2004.
Exactly. Wonder Woman 2000.
Wonder Woman 2004. Oh, yeah. No.
I don't know. So just the mall scene was the only emphasis of like, it's the 80s, kids. And then it's kind of over.
You told me before you, because I watched it a day after you. Yeah. No 80s music.
No. I mean, there was like one song, but I thought, here's an opportunity. You're going to have 80s music. You're going to play up the nostalgia of the parents of the kids who are most likely watching the movie, or the families that are watching it, and play some 80s tunes. And they didn't. I mean, for a movie that cost $200 million, I'm kind of surprised none of that went to music licensing. It all went to bad CGI. But anyway, I will say, though, I mean, there's not a lot that goes on, except these nondescript criminals who Diana needs to wrangle, which... First of all,
where were they coming from? They were just
I don't know. What was their interest? Who were they working for? Like, how did they know the Wish Rock was in the back room of this jewelry store in a random mall in D.C.? I mean, just the convenience was off the charts. But the thing is, that's annoying is, and a lot of people have brought this up already. So, again, if you haven't heard, you probably have heard, because this is coming out later than everybody else's discussion. But who cares? But Diana, in the whole movie, there's no sword and shield like the first one. She uses the golden lasso, the lasso of truth. But the reason that's annoying is because, number one, it's not really a weapon. Number two, starting in that mall scene, and for the three scenes, you see Diana as Wonder Woman. She's just Spider-Manning around the joint and just using it to fly all over the fucking mall. And really, that's kind of it. I mean, there's a point during the White House fight where she spins it really fast to repel bullets being shot at her. But otherwise, she just does it to, like, latch onto shit and swing everywhere like Spider-Man. That's honestly what it felt like.
That felt like nostalgia to me. It's like, well, they used it in the original series, and this movie takes place in 1984, so people are going to remember the lasso. Put the lasso in the movie.
And it was also in that Justice League movie that people don't like. Maybe there'll be more of it in the Snyder extra budget version that isn't a Snyder cut. But
You mean the Snyder cut version that only shot two extra scenes? Yeah, it's going to be in there.
Yeah, that Snyder cut that cost an extra $30 million. Dude, I don't want to.
The fans
that's
won. One. We found it. No, you didn't.
Yeah, you didn't find. Yeah, release the unfinished, no special effects, actual Snyder cut, and I'll watch it and laugh.
What could be done for $30 million? Deadpool was made for $50 million. Okay, that's my standard. Where it's like, look what they did in Deadpool.
We just
$50 million
before getting on mic. We discussed a movie that could be made for under $30 million for sure. So listen, there's that. So the reshoots to pander to a fringe group of fans is, I don't know. I ranted about it over the summer on a solo episode I did, but I have zero interest in it. I'll watch it weeks after it comes out because I don't want to give them the satisfaction. I just out of morbid curiosity.
Version. I don't care about that. Like I'm done. So.
I'm just curious more than anything else. But I don't know.
Oh,
we'll
and
see.
It's not a miniseries anymore.
It's not.
It's a fucking 4-hour long movie.
See, the funny thing is, I heard it was going to be a four-part series, four one-hour episodes, like a miniseries. Then I heard it was going to be eight 30-minute episodes, and now it's just going to be falling four. I don't know. Like, what movies? Name a four-hour movie that's interesting.
The Irishman's looking at that like, dude, you got to calm that down, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Martin Scorsese says, listen, you got to watch your runtime, kid.
Yeah.
I don't know about this thing.
I'm sure Martin Scorsese would have a lot of opinions about a lot of these movies we're talking about this episode based on recent comments.
Well, he wisely would have just skipped it. I will say, I wasn't planning on watching Wonder Woman 84. I watched it on Christmas. Well, technically the 26th. It was 2:30 in the morning. Christmas was kind of a heavy day because we didn't do our family didn't do the traditional thing because everybody in our extended family decided we're not going to gather. We're going to be safe. So my girlfriend and I went to my parents' house. We just spent it with them. We haven't had a Christmas at home in over 20 years with just the immediate family, minus my sister, who, of course, didn't take the flight from California to New Jersey. So it was kind of a heavy day, and also heavy with, you know, Sherry missing her family, of course. I understand that, you know, so it was a day that was emotional. I mean, as much as we enjoyed Christmas and it was good getting together, you know, even there's just the four of us, it was still kind of heavy. So I said, well, let's put this day behind us. It's, you know, Christmas is over now. It's the 26th. I thought Soul was going to be kind of heavy, even though I knew it was Pixar. I was like, well, we can watch Soul or we watch Wonder Woman 84. I was like, let's wait on Soul. Let's watch Wonder Woman 84 and just laugh at it, because I had such low expectations. I'm in the small minority who did not enjoy the first Wonder Woman movie, and I wasn't expecting much from this one. I really thought, like, this is just going to be silly, but I was open to being surprised. I said, if this movie's good, and if I'm actually, like, bowled over by this movie, I will gladly admit it, because I'm going in with very low expectations.
Go ahead.
No, I just want to say, like, the largest reason is, and I don't like calling out necessarily actors or performances or anything like that, but I'm sorry, Gal Gadot can't act. She can't. I mean, I thought in Batman v Superman, they gave her, like, 12 lines or something, and I get it. Like, she hasn't done much acting, so you're going to kind of minimize her weaknesses. But I don't think she's gotten better. The first one would annoy me about her very, you know, stiff acting was also that she constantly just had the pursed-lipped model face whenever she was doing anything of just. And I just didn't, I could not get into it. Sorry if you're just listening to it. But the idea of, like, that expression she has, it kind of doesn't change, and never bought in any emotion. And I'm sorry, but in the 2 years, 2.5 years since that movie came out. I'm sorry, 3.5 years. That was 2017.
Almost 4. That was like summer 17.
Yeah, it was June 17. Okay, so in the 3.5 years. She hasn't gotten any better, in my opinion. That's, you know, look, your opinions on stuff like that is completely subjective. I don't think she's gotten any better, so I was prepared to be convinced by her. But had she gotten better, I would have gladly said, you know what, I think she's really improving, and I like what I'm seeing from her. I mean,
you would have been willing to accept that. Yeah, yeah,
totally.
Wrong.
I am. I'm willing to turn around. Look, I don't think
you're not, like,
sticking to your guns.
Like, no, it can't be good.
No, just... no, not at all. I mean, like I said, I didn't like the first Borat movie, but the second one I went in, I said, you know, this looks funnier than the first one ever did. I'm looking forward to it. And I loved it. I was that way with the Sherlock Holmes movies, too, the Robert Downey Jr. ones. Like, I went and saw the first one, thought
no
it looked great.
No one expected those movies to be dope, man. Let's be honest.
And I went in, I was like, well, I did think the first one was going to be fun. And I went and saw it a couple of days after it opened. And I was like, when did Sherlock Holmes become, like, a master martial artist and Jack Sparrow? So I wasn't a fan of that movie anyway, in that he's kind of aloof the entire time, but then at the end he sums up everything that happened in the movie. But I thought the Game of Shadows sequel looked even better, and it was worse. So I've gone into movies and said, like, I'm ready to be surprised by this and been disappointed. Yeah. But in this case, I didn't have many expectations, but I would have been fine to admit, like, I didn't like it. I don't think I'm so cool and I'm so full of myself that I wouldn't admit if I was wrong. So I was prepared to be surprised by Wonder Woman 84. And it wasn't until we were about to press play that I saw it was 2.5 hours that I was immediately just thinking, oh no, this isn't going to be good. I thought this movie does not need to be the same length as the Dark Knight. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
Or Goodfellas.
In all honesty, I was just excited to see a new movie. I was like, I haven't seen a new movie in months since Bill and Ted. I was like, I'm just excited to see a new movie. This is going to be weird. It's going to be different because it's not in a theater. And I'm always that guy. It's like, if I want to see a movie, I want to see it in the theater. Okay?
Totally.
There's something weird about a home experience versus a theatrical experience, where, like, after I see it in the theater, then I can go home and take it home and enjoy it or never see it again. But for me, it was like, all right, just, it's a new movie. Let's just get, it's exciting to see something that was like, oh, wow, something new. But it quickly just was like, okay.
It didn't take
long. Like what I would have been complaining about or not liking over the summer is just delayed 6-7 months. So that's
well, I was grateful that we didn't have to go to a theater to see this movie because I knew I was going to get dragged.
Me too.
I knew there would have been a group outing
essentially for free because my wife and I are using the HBO Max for my in-laws since we gave them another streaming service. So.
Oh, well, yeah, there you go. Yeah. Same, actually. Yeah, I've a family member who has an HBO Max account who
not that that's important, but I was like, oh, cool. I don't have to do anything for this.
Oh, totally. Well, I mean, that's the thing. I would have just because I'm curious. And like I said, with the releases, this idea that the 2021 releases are going to go to HBO Max, there are enough of them that I could justify even the $15 a month aside from the HBO programming that I watch on a weekly basis anyway. And the catalog.
I'd be like, okay.
Tom and Jerry in theaters? What, were you not looking forward to seeing Tom and Jerry in theaters?
Very much not. I looked at that trailer. I said, wow. You know, I even like the Rocky and Bullwinkle live action animated movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And I know it's
that's
not a good
what
movie.
It looked like.
Yes, that's exactly what it looked like.
I've been trying to pinpoint what this movie looks like for a while. And the fact that you just nailed it on the head. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. It does look like Rocky and Bullwinkle.
I haven't seen the trailer for Tom and Jerry, but I remember distinctly Rocky and Bullwinkle. Remember the old theater in Bricktown, Chris, the Circle 5? It's now
an IHOP. Yeah.
So that was the last movie I saw there. My dad and my sister and I had a day out, and he wanted to see it because he grew up with the cartoons. It's like, well, it's playing at the $2 theater because it was it devolved into the crap theater at the time that had old promotions from the 90s still up. So, and it was the year 2000. So anyway, we go. It was so bad. I joke because it was so bad. The film snapped in half halfway through. I'm like, well, that's good enough for me. Like, it was that bad.
Oh, man. Funny you bring up that theater. The last movie I saw there was either Mafia or Gone Fishing. So that would have been like 97.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe that theater made it another 3 years because that place was virtually empty.
There were still Hercules posters up, and it was, again, the year 2000. Like, that movie came out 3 years ago, said 15-year-old me.
Where was this theater?
It was in Brick, New Jersey. It's where the IHOP is now on the, off of Route 70.
Right where Route 70 and Route 88 intersect.
Yeah,
there was a theater there.
There were two theaters in Brick, two small ones, and the other one was over near
5 screens. Yeah,
two 5-screen theaters, and then the 10-screen theater opened up right before episode. I think 99, right around episode one. That maybe their opening weekend.
No,
that was
like 98, 97. Was
it?
Theaters were just like, is this crap theater?
Well,
now,
that's the funny thing. There were three theaters in one town for a while, so there were 20 screens in the town of Brick for a little while. There's a little window. And my friend worked at the other 5-screen theater that was over by where I think it's Outback is. I don't know what that building is now.
That was right from where karate school was when I was a kid.
Yeah, so. And that was, I remember that theater very well. Oh, I'm sorry.
I saw Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That was that theater, I think the last movie I saw there was Miss Congeniality when I fully gave my heart to Sandra Bullock on that day in 2000. But anyway, getting back to Wonder Woman, because we're, as usual, we're all over the road, folks. So now, after this mall fight, with, you know, these completely disposable villains who we don't know what they were up to, who they were working for, why they were getting the wish rock. I mean, we don't know anything really about it. So Diana's back at her home and they're doing a quick recap of the last movie and showing pictures of different things as they go by, like old ass at a candy and, you know, sort of stuff like that as they're going through, you know, everything that's in her apartment. And she's literally laying in bed pining for Steve Trevor. And this sets up why Wonder Woman is a terrible character in these movies, because it's been 70 years and
that
she's pining
with this movie.
For Steve Trevor. You spent a week with this fucking guy 70 years ago and you're still you're still falling asleep at night thinking about how much you miss him. Like, get over it. This is the opposite.
It's not even like
she's not a strong character. Like, the idea you're pining for this guy.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Like, it's the idea absurd that she could hold a place in her heart for Steve Trevor, but have moved on would have been great. But the idea that she's stuck on this guy,
like reality like most realities are, yes.
Yeah. I mean,
and don't use the comic book movie excuse. It's like, no, it doesn't make sense. 70 years later,
exactly.
She's acting like it was within the first, I've had family members or families and friends who have lost someone they loved. And it's not that they got over them. They just, like you said, put them in their heart and that's it. And you move on, but you move your life forward.
Exactly.
And it's realistic. 70, maybe 7 years it takes to get over, but not fucking 7 times 10. It's so stupid.
It is. It's really, really stupid. I just couldn't believe that.
She's a beautiful woman. She's going to dinner by herself. Oh, I'm so sad. I have no Steve.
And completely brushes off any any attention any guys give her. Like, they make a point of letting you know she's not hearing it from any guy.
To ugly people, damn it. Like, that is not cool. So this movie is not ugly people friendly. Fuck this movie, I'm out.
Yeah. And it's not like, oh, she's afraid of her powers. Maybe she's like a scenario where she's like, oh, I'm Wonder Woman and I can't hurt anyone because of this. Like, you know, you'll break his dick off when you're having sex with him or something. Like, ridiculous.
Yeah, she's not She-Hulk.
Is she even Wonder Woman for these 70 years? Like, is she just hanging out being, oh, Steve, I'm so sad and miss you.
I mean, based on...
Because there's clearly 70 years of... There was another world war. There was another war after that in Korea. There was a Vietnam War. There was a couple horrible things in the 70s. Was Wonder Woman doing any of that? Or was it just like, oh, Steve, I'm so sad.
Yeah, like, exactly. I thought, like, oh, this is how we're going to do it. This is why it's so important for her to get Steve back. Ugh, ridiculous.
Well, apparently she went through some shit, according to Zack Snyder, because he just posted some fucking weird-ass photo of her holding three heads. Like,
I mean, whatever.
I don't know, man.
Zack Snyder exists in his own world, and he's surrounded by sycophant fanboys who just are up for anything he does. So, I don't know.
His Batman would have been raped in prison. What?
Exactly.
What the fuck?
He said that. My Batman would have been raped in prison.
Yeah, but and in the Snyder Cut, it's like,
he
Batman.
Said that?
Yeah,
years ago.
He did. This is right around the time of Batman v Superman, right?
Batman v Superman. He's like, if it was my way, I'd have Batman
5 years ago.
That's how he's vengeful. No. Like, and the dude bros are like, Batman, killing rapists. Like, no, that's not what he...
Well, even the idea, he's emphasized that in his new... this new Justice League movie, let's face it, it's not a
remake.
It's a Justice League remake. Yeah, Justice League 2.0 is that he says, like, and Batman drops an F-bomb. Like, oh, big deal. That's what we've all been waiting for after 80 years of Batman. Or like, Batman needs to say,
and it was really hard to convince Ben Affleck to do that.
Yeah, exactly. When Ben Affleck's like, you drag me back into this, fuck. That better be the line.
It's that Ben Affleck photo of him smoking just in the outside. Just that.
Yeah, sad Ben. Oh, man. Are you looking that quote up, Christian? He can't believe it. He's aghast at just like...
I had to. I'm just like...
You're very intently staring at you. I can see the screen reflected in your glasses.
Yeah.
That's why
I'm
like,
I'm trying to
and
find
the disappointment
it.
Homeboy's digging for this. He's like, I need to make sure this is real. Not that I don't trust you, Jack, but I need to know that this is what happened. All right. So anyway, so now we're going to get introduced to Barbara or Michelle Pfeiffer's Selina Kyle or Edward Jim Carrey's Edward Nigma
villain comes into play.
It's the same. It's such a tired trope, and I can't believe that they're willing to resort to this because it's like Jim Carrey is the real.
I guess.
Wait, what's? Hang on, he found it. Christian found it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I read it and I was just like, oh no, this is the man that helped the Batman movie. Sorry,
get that $100 ready for that tier.
Everybody get your money ready. This could be it. We could be burying Jack the day this goes up.
We play our cards right. Kill you.
Dude, that was fantastic. That's
what I play on Zack Snyder.
This clip goes on YouTube.
Oh my god. That was hilarious.
So anyway, we're introduced to Barbara, who's, you know, the trope of the nerdy person.
Oh, no, I can't hold my papers.
Yeah, who can't walk, who can't hold anything, who wears glasses, which is one of those ridiculously offensive things that, were we laughing about that trope and She's All That 22 years ago? Like, this girl wears glasses. Oh my God, she took her hair out of a ponytail and took her glasses off. She's hot now. Are you kidding? Like, Kristen Wiig is gorgeous, and you know, and set aside the fact, and only because it's something that's been brought up in reviews, it's not something I looked up. It's just a point of being talked about, I guess, in a positive way to kind of celebrate her. But she's 47. Never would have guessed. She looks amazing. Whoa. She looks amazing.
Yeah.
And
no, she's not.
Look it up. Let's see your face when you find out. She's 47.
No, I believe
Google
you.
Me this, like... Christian.
Shut up. Anyway.
So
damn, good for her.
Anyway, right?
Yeah.
I guess she's one of the few exceptions to white don't crack, so I guess.
Oh my God. Ryan Taggart, the aforementioned Ryan Taggart, I have had a lot of discussions about Black Don't Crack. He was going nuts over seeing En Vogue on New Year's Eve on TV. He was like, oh man.
Right.
You did too, Jack, I bet.
Yeah.
Jack's like, I gotta go to the bathroom. He runs off.
Never gonna get it. Never gonna get it.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. I was like, they look amazing, and they do, but unfortunately, they told us 20 years ago, my lovin', you're never gonna get it, and we won't.
So I heard that Kristen was very underused in this movie. That's one of the like the common things that I hear.
She's not given anything to do. Yeah. She's literally just nerdy. I mean, look, if you've seen Batman Forever, you've seen Batman Returns. If you saw Jamie Foxx and Electro in Amazing Spider-Man 2, it's like she's the bumbling person who's unappreciated, who all of a sudden gets powers and attractive and powerful.
She's like
and
Poison
now
Ivy
is a villain.
Batman from Batman and Robin.
And the idea, that's true. Poison Ivy. I forgot about that. That's a perfectly good character that falls into this category. But yeah, she's
God
just
damn it, DC.
For somebody who
it's a DC thing. I don't get it. Every time I looked at my wife, it's another fucking.
You get powers, you get hot.
Exactly.
It's another DC trope of like, oh, I just don't know how to wear glasses and put heels on and be a lady. And all of a sudden, you have she's smoking hot.
Like, I don't know. I don't know how old she's supposed to be in this movie, but I'm thinking like, let's just say, I mean, Kristen Wiig could pass for 30. If we're being honest. In the movie and everything we've seen for the movie, let's say she's 30. She hasn't figured out how to walk in heels, and that maybe walking in heels aren't her thing. At that age, come on. I don't understand, but she's just underutilized. I think she's good as much as she kind of plays the Kristen Wiig, in Ghostbusters or Bridesmaids or whatever, until she, makes the wish on the wish rock and wishes to be more like Diana, which is another thing that just made me laugh. I know it's a little nitpicky, but when she meets Diana and Diana helps her pick up the papers that the men didn't help her pick up when she dropped them. She was like, hey, do you want to get together, have lunch, something like that? And Diana said she's really busy. But all like 11 minutes later, she's back at Barbara's place talking about some other artifacts at the Smithsonian. Yeah. So whatever. It was just kind of silly. It's like, no, I have a lot of work to do today. But then she shows up like later that day. So yeah. I guess not. But the idea that, frankly, that Barbara and the 4 minutes of Cheetah that we actually get in a dark CGI fight to mask the bad CGI... it's weird. Cheetah is one, from what I understand, and my girlfriend's a huge Wonder Woman fan, like comics fan and everything. And that's one of the reasons
she loves Wonder Woman.
And one of the reasons she doesn't like Wonder Woman in these movies, in the what's now, this is the fourth movie where we've seen Wonder Woman. I mean, granted, she will say Wonder Woman was badass in Batman v Superman as much as she wasn't crazy about the movie, but, still being hung up on Steve Trevor and everything in Justice League, which is, again,
I'm guessing
funnier.
She wasn't a fan.
No, she was not a fan. She wanted to shut it off. I wanted to finish it. Now
you
again,
bring
it was
her on. Be like, wow. Yo, let us know your thoughts.
You know what? She was gonna, and she's like, when am I gonna be on a fun show?
That's shocking to me because I thought at least you'd be like, let's just finish this and put this away.
No,
talk about it again.
She was tired of it. And look, again, we started at 2:30 in the morning, so we knew we'd be up till 5 a.m. watching this movie, which was fine because I just wanted to end the day on a laugh. I said, this movie's gonna be ridiculous. Yeah. Let's watch it. Yeah.
Look, it's sister infomercials. We got what do you want
to
do?
Yeah, well, that, exactly. Like, what are we gonna wind down to? Like, I guess we could finish the three or four Simpsons Christmas episodes we haven't watched yet, but otherwise, let's have a distraction. Like, here's something new. Here's something we would have been seeing anyway. I mean, in theory, may have seen 2 months ago in October because it was supposed to open in October. But anyway, no, she doesn't like the fact that this Diana is hung up on Steve. And she really, really didn't like the fact that Cheetah is one of the big. It's like Wonder Woman's Joker. Yeah. And she's a secondary villain in this movie. And to be honest, she's frankly the fourth most important character because this is very much Maxwell Lord's movie. Diana and Steve and Barbara come after him. I don't know.
There's too many elements. The more we talk about it, it just feels like there's too many things.
There are three
and
stories.
That's been a DC trope. Like I said back in the day that, and I still will stand by, I enjoy parts of Batman v Superman. But narratively, it's not a good film because it's so many things. And this feels like the more we talk about Steve Trevor's return and Cheetah and this, it feels like more of the same. Like DC takes his movie and says, we got to stuff as much shit in it as we possibly can, make it 2.5 hours long. And there we go.
There's three stories going on simultaneously.
Yeah.
And they intersect at the very end of the movie. That's the more. Mm-hmm. And that's how it ends up being a bloated 2.5 hour movie, to be honest. So anyway,
that it could have had, at least in that first hour alone, 20 to 30 minutes cut out.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Two hour and 10 minute movie at the most. There's so much in there that's just it's just not interesting. Like it just doesn't move anything along. And they get, like you said, they get the wish rock and they're all like, oh, I'm sad, I want this, or oh, I like this. And then all of a sudden it's like, what's happening to me?
Well, that's it. Well, Maxwell Lord tries to seduce Barbara to get the wish rock, and he does.
Yeah.
And then he wishes to become the wish rock. So now,
see, out of nowhere too, by the way, which is stupid.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a question for you guys then.
Sure.
Do you guys think that with another pass or two on the edit, do you think that maybe this film could have been saved? Or do you think a lot of it is a story issues coupled with too long of a runtime? Because too long of a runtime can easily be chopped down, but when you're cutting out moments that unfortunately need to be there, even in a garbage script, it's not good. So like you, like how you're talking about how you, like, I know there's a bad script, but sometimes you can still save.
You can save it in the edit. Because that's
arguably,
it.
The, I mean, the biggest, arguably the biggest time that ever happened was with Star Wars. Like, Star Wars really got saved in the edit by a lot of people. So,
totally.
I mean, is it it's possible.
It could have moved along a lot faster, because the first, I mean, again, after you see the mall fight, you know, with Wonder Woman and Spider-Man just flying around and flinging motherfuckers everywhere, which is awfully jaunty for something that's like a robbery where a girl almost dies. It's literally almost thrown to her death. It's awfully lighthearted.
Was like, dear God, like,
it was kind of weird.
I hate that part of movies that anything's happened to kids and stuff like that. So I was very like, that's terrifying. Like, that wasn't even like a superhero. Like, that's terrifying.
It was weird. And it played for laughs, very upbeat. Yeah. Like, there's the moment where it's like, oh, he's holding the girl over the ledge, but then Diana's going to swing in or whip her lasso or whatever the hell she did to save the girl. Anyway, between that scene, it's a whole hour before you even see her in the Wonder Woman costume again.
Really?
So that, because what happens is she ends up, I don't even remember how it happened, but she ends up, you know, because she wants Steve Trevor to be back and, you know, all this other stuff. So, and this is one of the big points of contention in the movie. And that's why, by the way, to answer your question, Christian, this is basically, it's a bad script, because the idea that this wish rock and how it resolves itself at the end, which we'll get to, is just a catch-all for this is how everything happens and this is how everything gets fixed, coupled with the fact that the bad guys aren't really bad. They're not bad guys. They're just, you know, they're villains for a little while.
I'm not bad and that's good. All right, Wreck-It Ralph, relax.
Well, and that was also my problem with Deadpool 2. That was one of the reasons I didn't like that. It's like, all right, we got Cable. He's a big badass. And that was in all the trailers. And he turns out to not be so bad. It's like, I'm here to save the future. Okay, cool. Well, now we got to go find the obese kid who's punching fire. So then they go and find him. And then it's like, oh, he's not so bad. He's just mad at the orphanage where he grew up. And then, you know, they all walk off into the sunset together at the end of the movie, and I just thought there was no joke, bad guy in this movie.
The end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, dick joke. Yeah.
I love the first Deadpool. I hate the second one.
I do too. I thought that the second Deadpool fulfilled my fear of the first one, which was that the advertising was going to be better than the movie itself. And the trailers for Deadpool 2 were awesome, and the movie I hate it. I even went and saw it a second time.
Forgettable.
Because I was jet lagged the first time I saw it. Literally, Sherry picked me up from the airport, and we went that night to see Deadpool 2, and I said, maybe I just wasn't in the mood, maybe I was tired, so I went and saw it again with somebody else within that first week, and I said, nope, I was right, this movie sucks. But
see, I think I actually enjoyed Deadpool 2, but I will admit that I, like, when I watch that movie, it's the most baffling thing to me. And again, budget, $150 million movie versus the $50 million first Deadpool. How does the first Deadpool with less money look way better? Like, the second one, there are moments where I'm like, yeah, big CGI fight, it's funny, you call it out, but that big CGI fight looks like garbage. It's cool still, but like, in the first one, there are moments that are full CGI that I would have never thought were that
totally
CGI.
That looked practical.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's like,
it looked great.
When you have a success, though, that's part of it, is that now you're living in a world of yes. And since Ryan Reynolds really shepherded that project, I feel like for the second movie, they were like, just do your thing. Do what you do.
Like,
and
the
it
Hangover 2.
Yeah,
like,
there's another one.
We got, you know, oh, that was so successful. Well, what could you do? Well, we could put it in another location.
Yeah.
But I feel like Deadpool 2 is so, like, it's a Terminator 2 ripoff slash, like you said, with Cable. It's like, he's not really a villain, so you'll like him in the end. But, you know, who cares? It's just about the comedy.
People right. Then the fat New Zealand kid isn't really bad either. And then it's all these superheroes we showed you in the trailer get killed off after 2 minutes. OK, yeah. I don't know. I just didn't I didn't like it. But the point is, there wasn't actually a bad guy. And that was my problem with this movie. But we'll get to that kind of when we talk about close to the end. So the whole Steve Trevor coming back to life thing. Okay, so the premise that the Wish Rock can do whatever it wants. We see a wall spring up out of nowhere. We see, you know, nukes, you know, appear and disappear and all this other stuff. The idea that the ghost of Steve Trevor possesses a random guy. And that guy still looks like random guy to Diana and to the rest of the world, but is seen for the audience's benefit as Chris Pine, as a Steve Trevor we know from the first movie, is ridiculous. Even more ridiculous that basically...
I think that's what I said before. It's the stupidest part of the whole movie. I was watching it like, is he transforming into Chris Pine? Well, is he...
In a movie where stuff just materializes magically, why couldn't he just materialize? Yeah. There's a little bit of light you see from the background, and then all of a sudden he walks up instead of a random guy walking up, and Diana's like, I don't know, you fuck off. And then walking away, and then all of a sudden it's like, no, Diana, and she can see. I realize she's a goddess and everything, but like she can see that it's Steve Trevor's spirit inside this guy. And then she takes home this random guy who's possessed by the ghost of Steve Trevor and fucks him that night. Yeah. I'm fucking some rando who I believe is Steve Trevor because I can see Steve Trevor's soul. It's so stupid. And it raises a bunch of questions many people brought up, like, who was this guy? Was anybody looking for him? Did he have a job? He didn't show up for a week.
Where was his soul? Like, his parents must be along for the ride?
Did he spend the week in purgatory? Did he go to hell and then came back? Yeah. Did he have no memory?
Was he traded for another wish, and then that guy traded for another wish, and then that was the other wish, and he ended up being the nukes?
Well, like, that's it. Funnily enough, without getting into spoilers, like I feel like Soul pulled off that idea in a very effective way. I don't want to get into that, and I don't know if you guys have seen that yet.
So.
Okay, no, but as the idea of souls, I feel like that whole concept is handled well, where in this movie it just made no sense. And the idea that if... sorry, Christian, I'll get to you in 2 seconds. But
no, it's all good. This is hilarious.
This is one of those points where I feel like it would be a bigger issue if the genders were reversed. If it was a man who fucked a woman who was possessed by another woman without her consent, without the consent of the random woman who's now possessed by the ghost of this person, I feel like that would be a bigger deal. But because it's a Wonder Woman movie and we need to be, you know, pro girl power and, you know, it's Gal Gadot and Patty Jenkins and women are the only ones who could tell the story, even though Wonder Woman was created by a man. Everybody forgets that. But the idea that was just kind of, you know, brushed aside and that a bigger deal is being made out of it's, and I don't want to play the what if game. What if it was this? What if it was the other way around? Yeah. But to be honest, if it was the other way around, it would be looked at as phenomenally fucked up, like landmark, like that would torpedo the movie in itself. It's like this. I was like, let's say it's the other way. It's like, a guy, let's just look at characters named Steve and Diana. Oh, okay. Steve lost Diana 70 years ago, however many years ago, but now he sees Diana in this other random person, takes her home and fucks her. And this person never gave consent for their body to be, you know, in a sexual relationship with somebody. That's really fucked up. Yeah, I know people don't want to, people are ignoring that in this movie, but it is, it's fucked up. And if we're going to look at things as, from through the lens of equality, then
it was starting to become prevalent. Nobody knew what it was either. I mean, jokes aside, it's like, you know, it's a thing,
right? But meanwhile, while all this is happening, and the next day they wake up and we go through a fun walking Steve Trevor through the 80s, and he just kind of accepts, like, I'm here, it's 1984, okay,
like, he's digging it
incredibly well for a guy who's been dead 70 years, doesn't know why he came back to life, doesn't know why he's possessed a random person,
isn't just in the corner like, where the fuck am I?
Yeah, exactly. Why isn't he sweating and crying in the corner like any other person who was, you know, but catapulted 70 years in the future,
and then he just
Everything's
great. They fuck and
but Maxwell Lord's off trying to destroy the world to get more power, and they still have time for him for Diana to take him through a trip through modern times.
I love horror. I love horror. So my first thought of when I heard this all go down, because I've read this theory too. Mm-hmm. In my head, that dude that Trevor possessed is in a Get Out situation. And here's my theory. That movie is set in 84, right?
Right.
So what if the guy that Trevor possessed is actually the old man and the father
grows up to be the father of the girl and
Get Out? And he wanted to experiment with it because he was like, oh, I could do this with people.
That's hysterical.
Yes.
Then you were joking, but you pointed it out. Is that Kevin Smith actually called out some similar shit about Superman Returns, because spoiler alert, we find out at the end of Superman Returns is that he has a kid with Lois.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith points out in one of his Q&As that Lois, when she finds that out, she would be like, when the fuck did you rape me, Superman?
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my God, you're right.
That's a glaring hole in that movie.
Because he erased her memory. Yo, that's so fucked.
It is.
Oh, ew, yeah.
Right? Ew. Now, see, it's dawned on Jack and he realizes, wow, that really was a bad, that was a bad move.
So I get the problem. Like, yeah. I don't think this
like,
is
he, like,
cool.
Goes and fucks her and then turns the world around just like, didn't happen, you know.
Well, the world's spinning the other way now, I guess. That's what we got. So
I know it's not funny, but damn.
No, that totally makes sense. In this context, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Ew.
So
ew.
Maxwell Lord goes
I broke Jack.
She probably would have been like, the second she got pregnant, like the thing probably would have grown and she just would have been like, I'm in, you know, in labor pains like times a thousand because of, you know, Superman's kid.
Yeah, why wouldn't this thing just punch his way out of her stomach?
Yeah. Da, 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 da.
You know, like, wow, this Superman movie took a brave turn.
Oh my God.
I'd rather see a Superman movie where it's like Maury Povich, Superman, you are the father. No, yeah. He flies away.
Kal-El, you are the father.
No.
And Lex Luthor's in the back laughing, rubbing his hands together, like, ah, ha, ha. Anyway.
Not Kevin Spacey. Speaking of creepy, Kevin Spacey, Lex Luthor, is probably like, yeah, yeah, we're, you know.
Ew.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you said.
So, yeah. So Max Lord is trying to leverage his resources. Now he goes to the Middle East to speak to this oil baron or, you know, whatever he is. And a whole thing happens over there. So they need to get to the Middle East. Now, the rationale is, I don't know why they didn't look to see if random guy who literally is credited, I think, is Handsome Man. I think his character doesn't even have a name. The guy is possessed by the ghost of Steve Trevor. They don't even give him a name, this guy. Mm. This poor schmo who's literally, his body is taken over by someone else and he gets in fights and all sorts
could
of shit.
Could have been another guy named Steve Trevor and he could have taken his identity. Yeah, and then that would have made even more sense. But nope, Handsome Man.
But they don't bother to see if this guy has a passport. Instead, it's like, we got to follow Max Lord. He's headed to the Middle East. Well, you can't get on an international flight. That's what Diana says to him. You don't have a passport. Okay, let's go steal a jet. And they go and steal a fucking jet. There's a jet that's fueled up that even though Steve's been dead 70 years somehow, hey, flying's flying, whatever.
Yeah.
And he could pilot this jet.
Like in the 1910s. It's the same concept.
The idea that they steal. They steal this jet. But wait, it gets even better. So obviously, because they're stealing a jet, the military is like, what the fuck? So they're getting getting set up to like, we need to stop these people. We need to stop them from taking off. Now, Christian, I hope this hasn't been spoiled for you because we're about to in a big way.
Okay.
Now, since they are being blocked and like the military and everybody set up to stop them from taking off, you know, in the direction the plane's coming up the runway or whatever it is, wherever they're taking off from.
Mm-hmm.
Diana says, wait, my father was able to make things disappear once. He only did it with a coffee cup, but let me see what I can do. She literally puts her hand on the dashboard, closes her eyes, and the fucking jet turns invisible. On the first try, she's able to make a jet invisible.
Nerds were like, yay!
Yeah, exactly. A whole lot of nerdgasms all over.
No.
Oh, it's so bad. Again.
Honestly, I wish this movie came out in theater so I could have heard everyone laugh. No, because I would have laughed.
Dude, people, but that's the thing.
I don't know if people would, it depends on the audience. I think people have been like, woo!
Oh, I have no doubt people were cheering. Because the people who love this movie just completely are ignoring all the ridiculousness of it, which, again, is one of those movies where, when you look at it, between the Wish Rock just making shit happen and then her being able to touch a jet and close her eyes and make it invisible, it's just, so there are no stakes in this movie. Just anything can happen. That's
Wonder
the
Woman.
That's the world we're living in.
Possible. That's the title. Should be.
Yeah.
Not
well, and that's one of the things I kind of want to bring up, because one of the things, while I wasn't a fan of the first movie, it was grounded in reality in as much as it was taking place during World War One. It was grounded in this conflict, and it very much took place in the real world. This movie completely sheds all that. It doesn't, there's no grounding in reality at all, and there's no reason for it to take place in 1984, like I said. And I just don't understand why it's so far removed from, like, any of the grounding that was in the first one. There's none of that in this movie. Yeah. Everything, it's complete fantasy. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but when you set up a movie that has a basis in, you know, there's that, was it the No Man's Land, like that big walk she does where she's able to, you know, knock bullets away with her wrist cuffs, yeah, and, you know, stuff, yeah, like that. Or even when they're, you know, she's running with the shield protecting her while she's, you know, ducking machine gun fire and stuff. There aren't any scenes like that in this movie where anyone's in actual danger because shit can just be okay. It's, yeah, crazy. It's really ridiculous. So anyway, they get to the Middle East, and that's when, when Maxwell Lord's getting away after taking this oil baron's power, then she turns into Wonder Woman again, because now it's like, oh, we got to run him off the road or some shit. And that's when you see that battle that's kind of in the trailer with the cars flipping and shit like that. So you see Wonder Woman again for a couple of seconds, and you're supposed to feel for her, because since she, if you wish on something, or wish for something rather, it takes something away from you. So Diana starts losing her power. Big whoop. I don't feel bad for it. I just, like, none of the emotional beats. Yeah, like she,
oh, no, they're not going to play this card again.
She gets shot, like she has a bullet, like, graze her shoulder.
Her,
and yeah,
it's such a sequel trope. It's such a sequel trope, like Spider-Man 2. I don't want to have my powers anymore. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, I am so, like, Superman 2, what I discussed earlier. Mm-hmm.
Iron Man 2. I don't know if I want to be, yeah, Iron Man.
I don't want to be this. And then they give up their powers. Mm-hmm. And I understand that, like, maybe it was a little different, but, like, it came out of nowhere. It's like, because it wasn't explained at all of, like, oh, you get something, right? Something takes it away. It just kind of happens. And it's like, oh, shit, she took a bullet. Oh, does that mean she's, because that was my reaction. She's going to lose her powers, isn't she? Because they're going to, it's just.
But not really, Jack. There are no stakes.
You already knew.
Yeah, it's so weak.
And here's the funny thing. So now there's that scene in the trailer where they're flying through these fireworks. Now it's the 4th of July for whatever reason. And as they're flying away,
randomly, 4th of July throughout this whole thing. You know, yeah, everybody's like,
this newly invisible jet.
There's no picnic the day of when she's taking Steve Trevor around the city and looking, mm-hmm, around, but, oh, it's the 4th of July tonight.
Right.
Which is, you know, the Macy's fireworks show is going off as they're magically flying. That would have been something in IMAX. You just imagine, like, I paid $18.50 for this shit. Like, really?
Well, that's kind of the idea behind it. As I'm watching it and you're just seeing these fireworks, that shot that's in the trailer, I was just saying, this is just a trailer shot. That's the only reason it's 4th of July. It's the only reason there are fireworks. It's to make the movie look colorful and to have the two of them look around like, wow, like they've never seen, yeah, fireworks. Like, they were at war. Do you think they're that mystified by fireworks? But anyway, and then Steve Trevor has to explain, like, how easy it is to fly, and all you got to do is catch the breeze or whatever bullshit he says. And anyway, so after this Middle East fight, literally the next scene, they're back in D.C. No explanation how they got there.
Yeah.
Nothing about the invisible jet. And I'm not saying we needed to know, but literally the next scene, they go from, like, you know, Diana's losing her powers and they just escaped with their lives from this uneventful CG vehicle fight. And then they're just back in the States, and they're going to see the shaman who knows something about the Wish Rock, and they're meeting Barbara there. So they
who lives randomly in town.
Yeah, like an abandoned warehouse. And they walk in, and he literally is just, with no prompting, is giving them the history of the Wish Rock. And again, just very convenient. At the point when Steve says, oh, it's like the monkey's paw. When you wish for something and you get it, well, all you need to do to take the power away from the monkey's paw is to renounce your wish and give it back, which was another sign, like, okay, this movie, anything Diana does hinges on Steve. She figures nothing out for herself. He tells her how to fly, which obviously we know she does by the end of the movie. It's in the trailers. He tells her how the Wish Rock works by comparing it to the monkey's paw. And then fast forward to the end, because you know it's coming. He's the one who says, like, no, Diana, I need to go. You need to wish me away. He's the one who decides the sacrifice needs to be made, not her. She's completely dependent on Steve, which is another reason my girlfriend hated this Wonder Woman. Because she's nothing without Steve. She can't do anything on her own. Everything is based around Steve Trevor. And it's really, really weak. It is.
It is. It's super weak.
And I'm kind of surprised there isn't the you know,
it's almost the opposite message feminist of
outrage.
Woman.
Yeah, exactly. Why isn't there a little more outrage about, like, why can't she be strong on her own aside from just flying around whipping a golden lasso? And that's what she does. Anyway, Barbara says, like, no, you can't do this. I'll have no part of this. And then she just disappears. And,
do you know how much cooler conflict there could have been if it was like, oh, Diana had moved on with her life. Like, mm-hmm. I know it's typical to go there, but, like, having some sort of cool love triangle thing between Diana and new guy, well, new Steve or whatever.
Right.
But, like, it's, that would have been
the Steve Trevor thing out of it completely. Because honestly, the only thing, like Chris said, it's there to just serve is to feed Diana information and kind of be that supporting character.
Exactly.
But, like, she doesn't really need him. It's kind of a weird why would you include him in this movie?
Right. I mean, she's just she's taking him around for that hour when she's not Wonder Woman. Excuse me. She's just taking him around and they're like investigating together. It's like a really slow detective show with them trying to find where Maxwell Lord is and where's the Wish Rock. And wait a minute. Oh, here's the thing that was the base of it. Oh, my gosh. He turned into the Wish Rock. That's the one thing she figures out on her own, I think. Or maybe Barbara did. I don't remember. But
no, she did, because it's like, this is from the gods of the past. And
yeah, exactly. Which is something they didn't even touch on. The idea that the gods were somehow involved in this. And that was a big part of the first movie. I thought, you didn't even touch on any of that in this movie. You didn't even get any mythology of it or anything, you know, as far as the Amazonian heritage or Themyscira or anything like that. They touched on none of it. It was just, you know, the Diana and Steve adventure, you know, and then Cheetah shows up later. So anyway, Maxwell Lord wishes for more and more power, wishes to get a meeting with the president. There's a President Reagan type who is never identified as President Reagan. He gets a meeting with the president. The president wishes for more nukes because that's exactly the way we want things to go. The idea is like, I wish I had more nukes instead of I wish there were peace, or I wish, you know, Gorbachev would explode or shit himself to death. You know, like it could have been that. That would have been funny. I wish that stain on his head takes over his body, you know, whatever it is. And that doesn't happen. He wishes for more nukes. So we got to ratchet up the stakes. Nuclear weapons, by the way, not nuclear. For idiots like Andrew out there who keep saying nuclear, it's nuclear. Read. Anyway, so do your research. I'll be like, dickheads on Twitter, do your research. It's nuclear. So because he happens to be in the Oval Office during all of this, there suddenly is a point when he sees like, hey, what's this new technology? Oh, it's called satellites, where you can reach anywhere around the world. But wait a minute, you can
reach.
Before
you get there, that, where he's like starting to feel sick and stuff now, because what's affecting him is like the whole, he's losing himself, I guess, or he's becoming.
His health is deteriorating, yeah, because he's the Wish Rock, because for whatever reason, his health is deteriorating. Oh, by the way, he has a son who means nothing at this point in the movie. His son is introduced, and he's very neglectful of his son for the entire time, and I thought that was a completely pointless trope.
It's just the representation of his whatever conscience he has.
Yeah, so. Well, it's also just to show how power-hungry he is that he's blowing off his son to go seek more power and acquire more power.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they're in the White House, and he sees this technology. He's like, wait, you're saying because you need to actually touch Maxwell Lord to make your wish come true. So he keeps, you know, touching people and saying, like, don't you wish I had a meeting with the president, you know, or something like that. And that's how he's getting wishes granted, by basically letting other people use their one wish for whatever reason. It's only one, but there you go. And then he finds out there are these satellites that can beam a signal. So you're touching, even though you're not really, you're touching everybody in the world. So I get everybody to wish for all sorts of things. And won't that be amazing? So then he goes to a remote island somewhere to broadcast to the rest of the world this signal so he can use all their wishes and, you know, all this other horseshit. But Diana and Steve are able to get into the White House. And as we learned last week, that's okay because they're white. So they could just wander in and not worry about anything and not get arrested, which, by the way, it's not even Steve. Sorry to get topical. Christian's got his head in his hands. But that's a whole other area to discuss, and we don't want to. But anyway, so what happens is they show up, and then there's this big fight. Now, again, it's not really Steve Trevor. It looks like this other random guy. So how there weren't wanted posters, how the FBI didn't show up after all this shit went down. It's like, hey, there he is. There's Handsome Guy. Go get him. They should have just made his name Guy Handsome. You know, his first name could have been Guy. Like, why not? Like, if you're going to be this stupid, be really stupid and own it.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is a big fight in the White House where all of a sudden now Barbara shows up. She's not Cheetah. She's wearing a cheetah pattern coat. But then she has a pretty benign fight with Diana, because now Diana's losing her powers. Now Barbara's getting more powerful.
She's listened to a lot of Social Distortion and she's ready to kick some ass.
Yeah, exactly.
Because remember, it's the 80s, kids.
Yeah, it's 1984, right? She was listening to her Thompson Twins record on the way over, and she's spoiling for a fight. So anyway. And then Steve gets in like a shoving match with Maxwell Lord that's just really infected. They just kind of push each other for a while. And all this is happening in the White House. And
I was just like, it's Captain Kirk and the Mandalorian. That's all I
thought. Yeah. Well, that was the thing.
I got to find some entertainment. It's like Mandalorian and Captain America. Captain Kirk.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, Captain America, Steve Trevor, Steve Rogers. Again, they're too. Stop naming him Steve something, but, you know.
Letters, yeah, because you guys have been a little more creative. There must have been more Caucasian names for men back in, you know, the 50s or 40s. So anyway, they end up finding out Maxwell Lord's at this remote place. Somehow they make it over there. Now, all of a sudden, Barbara is cheating. Oh, I'm sorry. On the flight over, because now Maxwell Lord takes Barbara with him, she talks about, he's like, what do you really want for yourself, Barbara? He's like, and she said she wants to be like an apex predator. Now,
again, out of nowhere.
But cheetahs aren't really an apex predator. They're more like a deepex predator. I mean, it would have been really funny if she turned into a shark. And she's like, help, I'm on land.
Get me to the water.
Yeah, okay, get me to the water. Like, cheetahs are not, I mean, there are a lot more animals. I don't know a whole lot about the animal kingdom, but I'm pretty sure cheetahs are
not top of the list. Why? Because she has cheetah print on her.
Yeah, she's a big fan of cheetah print because it's 1984 and cheetah print's everywhere.
Oh, I want to be a cheetah. That's like, what?
Exactly. And then she's a cheetah. And just that first shot where they show the terrible CGI cheetah, which is one of the things I do not understand. How is it the DC movies have such bad CGI? It always looks terrible.
Warner Brothers is a multi-billion dollar company, well, and they can afford it.
That's what gets me. I'm thinking like the Marvel movies, you know they're CGI, but they look good. Like we said, the first Deadpool looked good. I mean, the first, what
the
was it?
District are like so unrealistic. It's like
it's cartoony.
Fighting.
Even when she's
just like floating, like when you in Endgame, when people are, when Thanos is beating the shit out of Captain America or Iron Man or any of the, you feel it. You're like, oh man, yeah. You're taking a pound. This is like they're kicking and then they're like flying backwards.
They're
like
falling.
They're on a trampoline.
They're falling and they're recoiling like an actual person would. But when Diana's running really fast, it looks so stupid. It looks
like floating on air.
It looks like she's floating. Her feet aren't even touching the ground. It's like, we're going to suspend you from wires and we're going to superimpose you over this street.
Diana, that's the ground. That's the ground. But
And they must have known it looked bad because they basically show her from like the mid drift up for a lot of it. And it's just her going.
Yeah.
With the model face with just the pursed lips
it,
and everything.
Like fucking North by Northwest green screen type shit.
No, it's so much worse.
An improvement.
It's so much worse. I'm not kidding.
Like, I think it's in the trailer. I think it's in the first trailer.
She looks like she's floating.
She's just like, yeah.
She's not running. It's like, it's almost as silly as.
Here's Diana. And
it was akin to a version that took itself seriously of The Running in Kung Fu Hustle. Do you guys ever see that movie?
No.
Oh my God. It's amazing. You know what I'm talking about? The Running. It's almost like Looney Tunes. When Stephen Chow is running away from the angry housewife and they're literally like pew, like their legs look like the Roadrunner, just a circle that keeps moving really, really fast. Yeah. It would have been 100%. Better as that. It would have been better
as
that.
God.
It looks so terrible. But anyway, Cheetah looks terrible. They have a fight in the dark for like 4 minutes. Oh, at this point, I'm sorry. As you saw in the trailer, Wonder Woman's Spider-Manning on lightning and clouds and all of a sudden shows up.
To let go because of Steve's lesson of like you.
Exactly.
It's just the wind.
She learns to let go. And she's
the, wind.
The funny thing is she's lassoing around and then flying. And all of a sudden is back at her DC apartment to get the golden action figure uniform that she's going to wear to this island. It's like, where were you going this entire time? This entire like 6 minute sequence of her in the clouds and hearing Steve's words back to tell her how to fly. And then she ends up going back to her apartment where this outfit was just sitting in the corner, by the way, to the point where Steve's like, what's that? He's like,
yeah.
And that's a warrior costume from whatever. From
Maximum, why don't you wear that?
From her Maximum Extreme Challenge on Themyscira. And she slips into that to go to the island to fight Barbara, who she doesn't know is a CGI cheetah. And they have a fight. It's really dark. It looks stupid.
Her
for 4 minutes.
Looks like it's like, man, it's like a Thundercats movie reject. And it's like, no.
I was really excited because they had there was a teaser poster they had with Kristen Wiig as cheetah. That looked really badass. And that was one of the things that got me excited for the movie. And frankly, that was the most appealing part of it was, as much as I like Pedro Pascal, even though I thought he was going to be a good guy masquerading as a bad guy, because that kind of was his thing for a little while, whether it was Kingsman or Equalizer 2. He's like, I'm a good guy who really turns out to be a bad guy. It kind of became a theme. And now I guess he's just going to get cast as a dad between Mandalorian and Wonder Woman 84. But here's hoping that typecasting doesn't stick too long. Especially with as good as The Mandalorian is, but hey, maybe that'll be another show. But anyway, she ends up electrocuting Cheetah, and that doesn't kill her, apparently, because when you electrocute a cat, it doesn't die. It just gets tired.
Nine lives, bro.
It just lays there like, oh, like it just got its bell rung. Like that's all that happens when you electrocute a cheetah, apparently. And then she's able to go and kind of like, you know, kind of deal with Maxwell Lord, but she can't get past the wind tunnel he's standing in, and she ends up lassoing his leg and getting everybody to renounce their wish. Now, here's the funny part. At this point, I knew the movie was fiction. Because you're getting everybody in the world to renounce their wish. When we live in a world, we can't get people to wear a mask and stay at home. or even agree on a simple democratic process in the country. You're telling me that everybody's going to give up their wish just because they're told to? You know there are going to be some selfish motherfuckers who are happy to die knowing that they have $10 million of unearned money in the bank. They're totally fine with that. So not everybody's going to give up their wish. And, you know, there's a funny thing, a great video I recommend that Screen Rant did, where they do this with a lot of movies, Pitch Meeting. And one of the jokes was, what about someone who wished for terminal cancer to go away? What about somebody who wished they could feed their family? Like small things like that. Like, well, sorry, your cancer's back. Yeah. It was a really good point. Like the idea that the wishes everybody has are like selfish. Like, I wish I had $10 million. I wish you were dead, you know, and shit like that. Like everybody used their wish for evil, but they're somehow able to do a complete 180 and say, no, I renounce my wish and undo the bad things, which is kind of the whole movie. Like the idea, if bad things happen, you can just take them back. Yeah. Okay. And the idea that even they're watching, you know, the military, they're watching these nukes that are being launched all over the place. The nukes are literally disappearing out of the sky. So does everybody just forget that day the world almost ended in 1984?
Yeah.
Like nobody's mind is wiped, you know, like Superman Returns or anything. I guess, you know, the fat lady who has a heart attack in the UK ends up just waking up like, oh, what happened? Like Guy Hansen did. But that's just kind of how the movie ends. And all of a sudden, Pedro Pascal is like, where's my son? And he runs.
Yeah.
We don't know how he gets back to D.C., but somehow running through the woods, he's able to come across his son who just wanders off screaming for his dad.
It took me out of the moment because there was so much going on. I completely forgot they were on a secret island.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden he's back at D.C. running around like, son,
where's my son?
All of a sudden he cares about his
Dan?
His son Dan. At the end of the movie. And the funny thing is his story ends with him hugging his son. So you don't know if Maxwell Lord suffered any consequences for trying to end the world.
I don't know. Maybe the FBI and the CIA are like swarms, like,
yeah, that's it. Like, why is nobody looking for this fucking guy? He made it all the way back from Mysterious Island to DC without any consequence. And you don't see him arrested. You don't see him taken in. They don't show a mugshot or a police report, you know, like a TV report or something somewhere at the end of the movie. It's like Maxwell Lord was
him and his son went and saw Karate Kid that night. And we're like, let's just forget this whole thing happened.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll buy you a milkshake at Baskin Robbins.
Again, no stakes, no consequences. Everything bad that happened, you can just unwish it.
And Cheetah's just going to sit there on the rock.
Yeah, and Cheetah just watches the sun come up and that's it. Now, the funny thing is, like, a couple days later, they announced that Wonder Woman 3 is happening because, obviously, this one was so beloved. But, you know, franchise has to franchise. I get it. Yeah. But Patty Jenkins said that they left Cheetah's story open to bring her back. Okay. Let's take a beat. Once again, we don't know how old Barbara was in the movie. But at this point,
did Barbara announce her wish? Is that
I mean, apparently, because she looked like Barbara at the end. So I guess the assumption is she did, ultimately. But Patty Jenkins said this, there's supposedly the next Wonder Woman movie is going to be a period movie, but the door is open for Barbara to return. Okay, well, it's at this point, it's now been 37 years. Barbara's going to be in a wheelchair or in a hospice or something. Like, you're not, you just, if that's the case, you just wasted Cheetah. You completely wasted the Cheetah character because she ultimately had a very short fight and she looked terrible doing it. And that's kind of it. So you took the main Wonder Woman villain and you just, it was bad enough you made her a second tier character, but you just threw her away in this movie.
Yeah.
And then there's a super cheesy end. And now it's Christmas. Now it's 5 months later for whatever reason. Now it's Christmas.
it's a Hallmark movie.
Yeah, there's a Hallmark movie ending that really, now Jack, don't you think that felt really tacked on? I don't know if that was part of the original movie, but it felt like really out of place.
And like, then, you know what? It's going to be released at Christmas. Let's give them the feels.
Well, that's it. It was supposed to come out in Christmas of 2019. So I guess maybe, but I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. They pushed it to summer of 2020 because of whatever, but
Star Wars.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, that makes sense. But still, the end scenes felt really tacked on, and then all of a sudden Guy Hansen shows up, who apparently has suffered no consequences for having his body kidnapped for, you know, a couple of days. Has no bruises, no broken bones, has no whatever, just sees Diana. He's like, wow, this time of year is really beautiful.
I feel like I've been in a push fight.
Well, so my rotator cuff has never been the same since 4th of July, and I don't know why.
Excuse me, man. Do you have any aspirin? I feel terrible.
If this guy was walking with a cane, it would have been at least a little like acknowledgement that some shit happened.
I feel like I was on the back of a truck in the middle of the desert.
I feel like I got in a fight on the top of a moving truck. But anyway, just kind of sees Diane. It's like, well, see you around. And then that's kind of it. And then the movie ends. And I'm just thinking, well, that sucked. But no, we're not done sucking yet, because there's no post-credit scene, but a mid-credit scene where all of a sudden something is
in
about
Christmas Town.
Yeah, exactly. It's like in Christmas Town. Now, something's going to fall over, and then a woman passes by and grabs this falling thing and saves a child's life. And turn around, and it's...
Again, the kid death in this thing is like, if it goes through...
Yeah, the idea that... kids are constantly in peril in this movie. Maxwell Lord's son is running around.
Like, that kid could be crushed to death, or the other kid would have thrown off a balcony in a mall. It's
exactly.
Like, you're just going to glance over that? That's horrible.
I will say, as far as... Well, let's finish with the mid-credit scene. So, yeah, it turns around. Everybody knows at this point. It's Linda Carter, and she was the warrior who won the golden action figure outfit at the Maximum Extreme Challenge when Diana was a little kid.
Theron. I honestly was kind of a surprise. Because you see her eyes, because she's telling the story about the warrior mid.
Right, and you do, yeah.
I thought, oh, it's gonna be Charlize Theron, because it looked from the above the eyes. Like,
well,
okay.
All the smart people on YouTube said, oh, you could tell that it was Linda Carter by the eyes. Like, I wouldn't know what Linda Carter's eyes look like.
I haven't
but
watched
whatever.
The Wonder Woman show ever.
So well, I get. Listen, Jack, if you were smart, you would have known. So you're not as smart as YouTubers. Sorry. But anyway, in a moment,
I'm not on YouTube.
In a moment which seals up just how terrible and poorly thought out this movie was, they decided to do a complete fourth wall break. Linda Carter looks in the camera, says, I've been doing this a long time, and then turns and walks away. And we're like, oh, awesome.
I would have killed for that. Batman and Robin, if Adam West walked by the screen, I did this for a long time. Hey,
and
you!
I'm like,
and just ran off.
See, you assume that DC has the amount of fun built into itself that it would allow an Adam West Batman cameo in Justice League.
Man. Well, even just a fun way that they do, like with Stan Lee in the Marvel movies, it's a passing thing and everybody can acknowledge it, like that would be fine.
It's the Easter egg of all Easter eggs. There's our Stan moment,
but that's another thing.
It would be wonderful, but I'm just saying current DC, they're not allowed to do that because that's fun.
Well, listen, fun is their thing,
not dark and gritty.
Well, now that's the thing. They've really turned a corner.
Well, they're trying
in that.
To fluff it up pretty well. But...
I know. They did that with they obviously did that with Wonder Woman 84 by just trying to make it a silly romp in this fictitious
Shazam,
1984.
Aquaman. It's like, we're fun now. See? Yeah. We can have fun too.
Shazam.
The place has a raccoon that's funny. We can be funny too. Please laugh. Want to see the Suicide Squad?
Suicide Squad is John Cena.
Oh, God. I've seen...
I don't know. I even have mixed feelings about that. I'm curious because of James Gunn, but I just don't
entertain
know.
The thought.
It's gonna
I
be.
I wanted to see Wonder Woman. I gave up on DC a long time ago. I only wanted to see this movie because I enjoyed the first one, and for the most part, liked it. It's like, all right, the sequel, I'm gonna see that. But I have given my money to shit like Aquaman. I have given my
you
money
did.
To shit like Suicide Squad, Justice League. I'm a fool. Most people think I'm a
you
fool.
You are.
And I try. And I didn't want to see Aquaman for the record.
You did. You were like, I'm not going to go see this movie. And then you went and saw it. I was like, Jack, I knew it. Jack?
I was outvoted 2-1 by my wife and brother-in-law. I'm like, Spider-Man, Into the Spider-Verse. Now let's see Aquaman. But I really want to see Into the Spider-Verse. Come on, Jack. Can't you play fair? All right, fine. And it can't be that bad. 2.5 hours later. I'm out.
I don't know.
$18.50 a piece.
Sherry did watch Waterbro on HBO.
It sucked.
And she just said, like,
I would take
it isn't
movie,
that
though,
bad.
I would take Wonder Woman 84 over the previous three mentioned. I would take it over Suicide Squad and the Aquaman,
Waterbro,
and
Justice League.
Saying much. That's how much. That's how bad those movies are. But this is a terrible film.
That's what I was wondering. Like, have your feelings changed now that you've sat with this movie for a while? No,
no,
you still
it's
better than any of those.
Most it did for me in the 2.5 hours has got my mind off of that wrestler who passed, John Huber, who passed away that night. So for 2.5 hours, it got my mind off of that, and it was like, well, that sucked. And then I went back to Twitter and got sad again. So like, you know, it did its job to be like, wow, this is a bad movie. And I'm not. And listen, I've been as a fan of franchises who get their own vitriol. I don't want to be one of those, hey, it sucks. You shouldn't like it. It's like, if you like it, good. I just don't see the good in this.
I agree.
Want to enjoy what they like. Because I've been through enough criticisms of the movies I love for the past 4 years, and I just say, you know what? Love what you love. It's not for me. And I could walk away. I could walk away from this movie thinking, like, you know what? It was 2.5 hours of my life. I wanted to watch it. It wasn't good. It was free to me. Even if it wasn't free to me, if I had to pay for HBO Max, or if in a perfect world, if I would have seen this in the theater, probably opening weekend or some point in June.
You would have put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah.
You would have invested.
Seeing movies. So it wasn't like, this is a waste of time. I was pissed about Aquaman because I didn't want to see it. I wasn't pissed about this because I had the intention. And you know what? I'm not going to waste my time. It's like, yeah, I didn't like Wonder Woman 84. You want my honest opinion? Not a good movie.
Right.
That's all I'll tell you. I'm not going to make it. It's a piece of shit. It should be burned.
Same.
From the society.
Dude, same. And people
themselves, and they don't know what they're doing anymore. And, you know, fire Kathleen Kennedy. She has nothing to do with it. Just fire her anyway. Like, that's the type of world we live in. So, more power to you if you found something. My wife honestly didn't think it was that bad of a movie. She's not a big of a critic of films more than just, she's a bigger critic of horror movies.
Yeah, definitely. That's her genre.
Than with anything else. With Blockbuster, she's like, I liked it or I didn't like it. Here's why. I don't understand how you don't cry at things like Endgame or Toy Story 4, but that's a question I'll have another
day. That's a little weird. Maybe not. Endgame's, I mean, she's seen the Marvel movies, but they're not her thing.
The Goldbergs and mommy and Beverly Goldberg and her daughter have a moment, then it's just waterworks. It's weird. marriage is fun, people. I love my wife to death.
It sounds like it. Fun.
But like, it didn't work. 2.5 hours.
Dude, I'm with you. People said you must have hated this movie because I posted WTF84 on my social media and it got a funny response, which is the only reason it's the title of this episode. Just, I realize other people made the joke and that's fine, but whatever. It's a podcast episode title. It's not that important. But
and as far as a third movie, I'll see a third movie.
Of course you will. You haven't learned your lesson yet, you fuck. What's wrong with you?
No,
Hollywood never lets me down. I'm there every time. There's a big budget action spectacle.
As much as I didn't enjoy this film, she's not.
As much as you haven't enjoyed, you've enjoyed a DC movie in 5 years. Why? I want to know.
Because I don't like. Because
it's still a time to the movies, man. Like,
look, I'll see a third one. I didn't hate it that much. Where it's like, yeah, I remember the first one. I saw the second one, didn't like it. I'll see a third one. I'll bite. It's not the end of the world to me. It's like, well,
and that's the thing. Like, people said you must have hated this movie. I don't like the movie. I do think it was terrible. I think it's the problems with it are glaring.
And I don't want to hear shit about, like, because Patty Jenkins did this. It's like, well, she must not be a good director because she made. I hate that fucking mentality.
Yeah, that's
so concerned that, like, because I'm part of the Star Wars fan community, that the assholes are going to turn around and see, that's why Rogue Squadron's not going to be good in 3 years. Like, based on what? Based on the movie had a bad script. It wasn't good.
Exactly.
Like, I hate this whole division and fandom. Like, this thing sucks. It all must suck.
Well, no. I will say that she did, you know, the last movie she wrote was Monster, which was came out in 2003. So, look, I'm not disparaging her writing, but maybe she just wasn't the best person to write this movie. For directing it, sure. She certainly knows how to shoot action.
She wasn't solely writing it, though. She had, like, Jeff...
She had Jeff Johns. who worked for DC proper, not just worked in the film division. And
isn't it the same writing team as before?
No.
That's not.
Which is probably why they abandoned, all the stuff that people liked about the first movie. And they went with, like, well, we got to do the Golden Lasso instead. And we need to do... you know, less fighting, and we need to show less Wonder Woman. It's like the fulfillment of that, getting back to the Kevin Smith story of, like, I don't want to see Superman in that suit. It's like, we don't want to see a whole lot of Wonder Woman in this movie. And there wasn't. She was Wonder Woman 3 times, and that's it. When she learns to fly, when she fights in the Middle East, and in the jaunty mall Wish Rock finding scene.
I think I know where this came from. This movie was co-written by a man named David Callahan, and our buddy David wrote Doom, 2005.
Never
Horseman, 2009. The First Expendables. Godzilla, 2014. Did a production rewrite on Ant-Man. Not credited. Zombieland, Double Tap.
Oh, that fucking
then
movie.
Wonder Woman, 1984.
How did he get past Doom to write more movies?
Now, here's where I get very, very concerned. Because... he's also the writer for Mortal Kombat, Shang-Chi, and The Legend of the Ten Rings.
And then
this one I'm scared. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse 2. He's the writer.
I don't know.
Seen the first one, and everybody tries to tell me that I need to sit through it, but... Into the Spider-Verse, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
I haven't seen it. I'm sure it's good, but it's just one of those things like, oh yeah, I didn't see it because I should have seen it in 2018 instead of fucking Aquaman. Anyway.
If I had my way, I would have seen this movie. Well, I think it's still on Netflix. It's actually one of those movies, Sherry said, you should watch it because it is a good...
Over the holidays, you need to see it. It's going to leave Netflix soon. I'm like, okay, calm down. I'll get to it.
I'll
spend $3.99 on Amazon if it's not on Netflix. I'm cool. Okay.
Well, I will say, and I'm not trying to disparage Patty Jenkins again. So she made a bad movie. Big deal. Yeah. There's no huge...
My favorite director in the world, Steven Spielberg, has made plenty of bad films.
Absolutely.
Still forgive him.
Absolutely. So. But, I mean, look, another example people talk about is Akiva Goldsman, because he's done movies that haven't been great. He did, you know, he had a hand in well, he's produced a bunch of shit, but like he wrote
original Batman films,
mm-hmm.
right?
He did. He's well, in- he did write. Sorry, I have it up here now. Is that he wrote Batman Forever, but he also and Batman and Robin. He wrote A Time to Kill and The Client. He also wrote, you know, iRobot, but he wrote that after A Beautiful Mind. And he wrote Cinderella Man, and then he wrote Da Vinci Code.
iRobot is fantastic. I will die for that movie. That is a great fucking movie.
You might, okay, if you say it loud enough.
Your own and have your fun. But
y'all are rude. Anyway,
I watched that on New Year's Eve of 2004. Funnily enough, I actually remember that. A girl I was seeing at the time bought it because she thought I wanted to see it. And I'm like, why? I didn't want to see it. Like, you didn't need to go out and spend $20 on it, but okay. But, yeah, I wasn't. Okay. It's of its time. It's one of those movies you're gonna look back and say, this was the early 2000s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway, I didn't like Wonder Woman 84. I'm not saying I hate it. I don't hate it. Like, I don't have that much passion in me for it that I can hate it, because that requires
There's
as much energy
in this
as loving
real world to hate. Then you got to focus your hate on Wonder Woman.
Yeah, 84. It's a movie that I wasn't excited about. It was
energy elsewhere. It's like, you didn't like a movie, so what? Get on with your life. That could be Wonder Woman, Star Wars. It could be
totally
anything. Just get on.
All
with
right, it wasn't good. Next.
Yeah, that's it. Like, and the idea
of
like,
I'm excited for more movies on HBO Max.
I am too. Actually, that's my goal, is because I did one of the things I wanted to start 10 months ago when the quarantine started was I wanted to watch The Sopranos for the first time. I didn't get to it. I wanted to by the end of 2020. It didn't happen. But now with the many states of Newark 2 months away, yes, I am going to watch The Sopranos series between now and when that movie comes to HBO Max, because
I've
been meaning to.
Is that still confirmed for its release date?
Yes. The only movies that are in question right now, apparently, are Dune and King Richard, which is the Will Smith
4?
Movie. What's that?
Matrix 4 is at the end of the year.
Matrix 4 right? is like July.
Oh, really?
I think so, unless they moved it. Ooh,
Matrix 4 still has its release date. It's just theaters and streaming.
Right. Well, I mean, there is that option. I was
in the theater.
Totally. Well, I was surprised. Well, here's hoping by July we can. But it's safe enough to do so. But that is one of the things that did surprise me. I'm surprised that Wonder Woman made as much as it did. The fact it made like 16 million in like theatrically opening weekend. I was actually surprised that many people went out to the theater to see it, especially with
Call
the HBO
Florida.
Max availability. Yeah, right. It's all those crazy people in Florida who went out to see it. No, I just really thought, especially with the idea, it's not like these other movies that have been released theatrically and then they'll be on premium VOD later. Like, if you paid $15 for HBO Max, you could have watched it at home, and it would have been cheaper than, I mean, would have been cheaper than two tickets, I'm sure. If the average movie ticket price is like $10, then it would have been cheaper. So if you went with the family, it would have been more money to see in the theater. And look, if you want to support theatrical experience, I'm all for it. I can't wait to get back to theater. I saw no movies in the theater in 2020, which was, I didn't really get my head around until thinking about it and
should
writing
cherish
my list
the wild
for next
while
week.
I was in that theater more.
So yeah,
the
had you known.
I saw. Yeah.
Well, the last movie Sherry saw was Like a Boss, so you can imagine how she feels.
It came up the other day on TV. I was like, remember that movie came out 8 years ago when you and Sherry, my wife and I, they went and saw it together?
That popped up on Prime. That's on Prime right now. And I said to Sherry, like, hey, you watched Like a Boss again? Hell no. She did not. But see, that was a movie, like, my girlfriend and Jack's wife went and saw that together because they knew it was going to be terrible, but they knew they could watch it and laugh, and it would be just a fun girls' night. So they got together one night, went and saw the movie. And it was exactly what they expected it to be, but they had fun hanging out together. And that's kind of the point. And I'm all for that. Like, I'm fine with going to see a movie that's not necessarily that great, kind of for the experience. It's the only reason I went and saw Mission Impossible 4 with
you
guys.
That's what I like to tell myself when I have to be dragged to shitty horror movies. So,
yeah. Well, anyway, that's it.
Yeah.
That's our conversation about Wonder Woman 1984. If you like it, great. If you didn't like it, that's fine, too. They're going to make another one regardless. I was willing to watch it. Wasn't for me. I would have been dragged to the theater to see it, so I was at least grateful that I didn't need to plunk down, you know, $18 to go see it or something in a premium format or whatever the hell. So that's basically it, folks.
Yeah.
But watch it. Make your own judgments. If you enjoy it, cool. I mean, I don't care. I don't have that much of an opinion. I don't have that much vitriol for the movie that I'm ready to get in fights with people. And if you want to overlook the silly aspects and you can enjoy it, good for you. Honestly, I mean that. Yeah. I like a lot of silly movies that
whatever
I know people don't
happy.
Like.
Yeah.
Totally. But if you enjoy it, yeah,
whatever
listen, there's,
makes you happy.
There are way more important things to actually
I
be
like Batman
hype
and Robin.
About. Yeah,
it's a terrible film, but I love Batman and Robin. So there, you know.
I just said I like The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle. I thought that was a fun movie, but
take that for what you
will. It's not good. It's not a good movie. I like both Charlie's Angels movies, the original two Charlie's Angels movies. They're not good movies at all.
Apparently, I'm not La La Land. I like iRobot. Who gives you shit?
Yeah, you like iRobot. I like, what was the other one? Oh yeah, because I saw the Monster Hunter or whatever that movie is called. Monster that's out right now. The Mila Jovovich movie. Is it Monster Hunter? Yeah, I was thinking about that. I said I like the Resident Evil movies. I know they're not good movies. I enjoy them.
You know what recent terrible movie I love? I don't care what anyone has to say about it, and you're gonna judge me very harshly.
Probably.
Monster Trucks. I loved that stupid ass movie. I thought it was so dumb.
It was so perfect.
It was perfectly 90s dumb. Anyway,
you were the target demographic for that movie.
I loved some of the Transformers movies, 1 and 3 specifically. And I was a defender of the second one for a long time, but it's shit.
Yeah, see, those are movies I went in.
It's a fun action movie, said 24-year-old me.
It's not.
They're not. Dog shit.
And look, it's so we're not saying we're better than anyone else. We're not putting down, again, you know, we're not putting down Gal Gadot. We're not putting down Patty Jenkins, you know, we're not putting it on the cast or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, I'm not crazy about her acting, and that's that. If you like it, cool. If you think she's the epitome of Wonder Woman and fulfills every idea you had about what a live action Wonder Woman would be, good, awesome, that's fine. I'm just saying, for me, she doesn't do it. I just can't buy it, and that's fine. It's okay. We like a lot of dumb movies. If you like this movie and we think it's dumb, who cares? It doesn't matter. Film opinions on everything, not just film. It's all subjective. So there's no reason to get too bent out of shape about it. And Jack, being a Star Wars fan, knows plenty of those people. He reads plenty of their bullshit online. So,
The mute button is a wonderful thing on Twitter, ladies and gentlemen.
So anyway, that is that. And if you're interested in everyone's shenanigans, you can follow Jack on Twitter at JackWagon85 and on Instagram at JacksonFigure1985. You can follow Christian, Engineer Chris, on Instagram at Christian Cordes. You can just look his name up. He's got some underscores in there, but you'll find it. And Arcade Player One on Twitter. And check out his YouTube as well, Arcade Productions. He's got some amazing stuff on there. Some great stop motion stuff, some great original music. It's well worth your time to check out the Arcade Productions YouTube channel. And you can follow me on Twitter at Chris Abalo and on Instagram at Chris Sells Out. And you can follow the show at Cape Pod on Twitter and Instagram, and support the show on Patreon, patreon.com/capepod. For as little as $2 a month, you can get more stuff. It's great. Just bonus audio at the $5 tier, the $10 tier, bonus audio, bonus video. Jack and I most likely will be doing a monthly video commentary. Well, there'll definitely be monthly film commentary, I should say. And that's going to be, it could be Jack and I, it could be more people. We'll see. And maybe, since Engineer Chris is sitting here, maybe next December we'll do Muppet Christmas Carol as a commentary. Wouldn't that be fun? I know you're in for that. So there's reason enough. So jump in on it now for $2 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month. You can support the show. We would appreciate it. Head to patreon.com/capepod and links for everything, of course, at chrisabalo.com. And that'll do it. Next week, Jack and I are going to talk about the movies and TV shows and music, all that stuff that we liked most from 2020, and maybe call it a couple of things that we didn't like. So that is the episode next week. So make sure you're subscribed to the show on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever it is you get your podcasts. Make sure you're subscribed, and we will see you then. So until next time, for Christian Cordes and Jack DeFranco, this is Chris Abalo, and this was yet another experiment.
At some point, even you have to learn to move on.
Steve Trevor tell you that?